If you're a visitor here, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to you. We're so thankful that you're here with us this morning at Monte Vista. It's always encouraging to us whenever we have people that are traveling or people from the community that come to worship our God with us. If you're a member here at Monte Vista, I just want to tell you that I love you. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity to talk today from God's Word. But most importantly, I love God. I love His Word. And I'm thankful to worship Him by your side this morning. This morning, for all of us, I have a question. Do you have faith? To be more specific, do you have a faith that pleases God? Our study is going to take us to the honor roll of faith today. That honor roll of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11. If you have a Bible with you, I ask that you please turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to have most all of our study from that chapter today as we delve into it. One of the things that you'll notice in this chapter is there is a very large number of faith examples found. There are probably 20 to 30 different faith examples found in Hebrews chapter 11, and depending upon how you count it, each one of them has a different thing associated with it. You might know of Noah or Abraham or Sarah or Rahab. Many of these people we know from different stories in the Bible, but they're consolidated in Hebrews chapter 11. But every time that faith is mentioned and that there is a name associated with that faith, there is something else that is always mentioned every time. Do you know what that is? Do you know why it's mentioned? If you don't, that's okay. We're going to discover that today as we go through our course of study. But first, let's see how the book of Hebrews fits into God's plan, and more specifically, how chapter 11 fits into this book. Hebrews was written to the Jewish Christians, more predominantly to the Jewish Christians that were native-born in that area. These Jewish Christians were undergoing some intense persecution. They were under the old law with their fellow Jews, but then when Christ came and they decided to follow Christ because they understood that the old law was no longer valid, they stepped away from the unbelieving Jews, and this caused a lot of hate from the Jews that did not believe in Christ. So these Jewish Christians were going under intense persecution from the unbelieving Jews, as well as this persecution caused them to lose their livelihoods, and in some cases, they actually lost their lives. But the book of Hebrews contains reminders all throughout it, and one of the reminders is that they made sacrifices to get to the point to where they were, as well as there's a reward. You need to not forget about the reward, which is heaven. There are also numerous warnings not to turn back or neglect your faith. Also, it's telling them to stand strong in their faith. It's encouraging them. It's wanting to make sure that they don't falter back and step back. The Jews were warned, reminded, and encouraged because they were wanting to go back to that old law. They were wanting to reject Christ, and they were wanting to go back to Judaism because, man, it was easier. They weren't getting killed. And so this book is put here for encouragement and motivation of those Christians. It's said in this book to urge them and encourage them, those who are suffering from persecution, those who are suffering from temptation, those who are needing help, those who their faith was just flat out wavering because of all the persecution that they were going through. This book was placed here for them and for us to tell us, don't give up. Don't quit. Keep the faith. Stand strong. And what you find in chapter 11 is a number of faith examples that endured. They endured the persecution. And those who, by faith, they pleased God, no matter in what timeline it was. They pleased God through their faith. Some of these people, they suffered horrible, horrible persecution. You read on to the bottom of chapter 11, you'll see that some of them were sawn asunder, it talks about. That means that they were cut in half because of their belief system. What a horrible, horrible way to go. But the point is, they still endured. And by that faith, they became examples to us. So, let's learn from the heroes of faith and what always accompanied that faith every time a name was mentioned. Let's start with Abel. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. By testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. It says Abel did what? He offered. He didn't just have faith. It moved him to action. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. He understood what God wanted and deserved, so he took action. He took his best. He understood what God wanted, and he took that and he offered it. It was an action word. It was a verb. Let's move on to the next one. Let's go to verse 5, Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Here we see that Enoch pleased God. To please God takes action. If you go back and look at his story in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, you see that Enoch walked with God. Walking is an action. It means that someone is obeying. They're living a life. They're taking action at every opportunity to do good. They do good for the Lord. So through his faith, he pleased God because he took action and walked with God. Let's go to another champion of faith. Let's not forget about Noah. By faith, Noah, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Noah, what's the action? Prepared. Again, you see an action associated with faith. He prepared the ark. He built it. There had never been a rain like that or a flood or anything like that. God said, you need to build a boat. What did he do? He acted. It was on faith that Noah did that. Let's go to another champion of faith that we all know of. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeying by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Abraham obeyed. He obeyed by going. Here's this man, well-to-do. He has everything. He's anchored into this area. God gave him a promise. But he said, you need to take your family and rip everything up, and you need to go to this promised land that you haven't seen. That took faith. That's a huge act of faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and he took his family, and he went. God told him to do it. He ripped his family up, and he went. Also, if you go on down a little bit further in verse 9 and verse 10, there are also two more acts of faith that he talks about. It talks about by faith he lived, by faith he looked. Abraham's faith in every point of his life moved him to action. Abraham is by far a champion of faith, and his faith always moved him to action. Let's talk about his wife. Let's not leave out good old Sarah. By faith, even Sarah herself, verse 11, received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she, what? She considered him faithful who had promised. Now, that's in the mind. She made a judgment. She considered. That was action she took in her mind. We can't lose the fact that we have to make judgment calls in our lives, and those judgment calls move us to make other actions. So by faith, Sarah considered God faithful. Let's move on to their son. Let's talk about Isaac. Isaac's going to be in verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. This is a great scripture for us as parents. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Why did he bless them, or how did he bless them? Because he told them of the promises that were given to Abraham. He passed on what God had promised and what was to come. We have that same example set for us today, that we should be blessing our children with teaching them about God. Let's move on. One more step. By faith, Jacob, in verse 21. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. So here we had Isaac, who taught his sons, and now we have Jacob, who taught his grandsons. What a great example for our grandparents in the auditorium today. By faith, both of them talked about the promises that were given to Abraham, to their family, and what was to come. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to talk about heaven. We've never seen it. It takes faith to talk about becoming a Christian. There's persecution comes with it. These men, by faith, taught their children and their grandchildren. Joseph, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Made mention, once again, it's passing it on, talking about it. Two things that he mentioned. Number one, he mentioned the exodus. Had it happened yet? No. They were still in Egypt. This was in the future. So by faith, believing that they had to leave the land of Egypt, he talked about the exodus. And also by faith, knowing that God is faithful, they will receive the land that God promised them. He said, my bones are going to be buried here. But when we get that land that God promised us, because he is faithful, I want you to dig my bones up. And I want you to bury them in the land that God promised us. That took faith. Let's move on to Moses. Now, this one's going to be a little bit different because it's not necessarily Moses' faith. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Here, this, like I said, this wasn't really Moses' faith. This was the faith of his parents. And what did their faith move them to do? It moved them to act and disobey Pharaoh and hide Moses so that way they could save him. There was a lot of work for Moses to do in the future, right? They probably didn't know all that or see all that, but they moved by faith and they hid their son. Let's talk about Moses' faith specifically. Let's move on to verse 24. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Sometimes our faith moves us to do something. We just went through a whole list of things that people were moved to do something. Moses' faith in this situation moved him to refuse to do something. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh or the son of Pharaoh's daughter, so the grandson of Pharaoh, more or less. This is an act of faith. There's great glory to come with being part of the family of Pharaoh when you're in Egypt, but he refused that because he was faithful to God, and he knew his place was rightfully with God's people. So when you have a faith that is pleasing to God, sometimes it will cause you to refuse to do things. Matter of fact, a lot of times it will cause you to refuse to do things. If you go on down in verse 25 through 28, there are also great examples of Moses and his faith and how it caused him to act. He chose affliction. He esteemed. He respected. He forsake Egypt. He didn't fear. He endured. He kept the Passover. All actions, all works, all things that he did because of his faith. So Moses is a great example to us of faith. And we can see how his faith moved him to action. Let's move on to the Red Sea. Let's go to 29, verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through on dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Right here, it's talking about they is the Israelites. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. When we think about that, we're like, well, yeah, they're being chased. Okay, was it really by faith? I mean, they're just trying to get away, right? Let me tell you, nature pulls water down, right? It's gravity. If you're standing at the mouth of the sea and the sea opens up and there's these huge walls of water up on both sides and everything in nature tells you that that water should be slamming down on that dry land, are you just going to walk on out there? I don't know. I don't think so, unless you have faith in God. They were faithful to God. They had seen what he had done for them already, so they were faithful to him, and they believed that he would hold that water up so they could pass through on dry land. Let's move forward. Jericho. Let's talk about Jericho. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Here, it's talking about they marched around Joshua, the priest, and the people. So they march around 7 days, they blow their trumpets, and shout, and the walls come tumbling down. Some people like to say that that was an earthquake or something natural made them fall. Let me tell you what caused the walls of Jericho to fall. It was faith. Faith in God, faith that God is faithful, and a miracle from God. It had everything to do with faith and the actions that they took. They could have all the faith in the world that God would knock those walls down, but if they didn't act on that faith, would those walls come tumbling down? We all know the answer to that. Of course not, because he told them what to do, and they acted upon it. And last but not least, let's talk about Rahab. Verse 31, by faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. So imagine you're on this wall, and you're a harlot. You're not someone that's very well-respected probably in your community. And there's these spies that are coming in from these people that are planning on taking over your land or your city. Do you think the leaders or the people of that city would look very kindly on her harboring spies? Do you think she possibly could have been killed for that? Absolutely. It took great faith for her, believing in God, to act upon that and harbor those spies and protect them. She acted on it. Would it have been easier for her just to have said, man, I believe they got a great God. I believe in him, but I'm not going to have anything to do with that. No, she acted. She took those spies in and she protected them. My friends, Hebrews is filled with champions and heroes of faith. This is just a sampling of them. But every time that faith was mentioned with a name, what accompanied it? A verb, an action word, a work. Every single time, without fail. So I'm going to ask again. Do you have faith? If so, what's your verb? You might say, you know, Jason, you know, can't I just have faith? I believe in God. You know, I come on Sundays. I come on Wednesday nights. You know, I got a life. I got kids. I got a wife I got to take care of, or I got a husband I got to take care of. We got sports. We got all these things. I got hobbies I like to do. When I come home from work, I'm exhausted. I just need some me time, and I need to sit down and then sleep and wake up for the next day. I don't have time for all that stuff. Well, it's not me saying it. Let's see what God has to say about it. Let's see what the Bible has to say about someone who just believes and is going through their life, happy to believe, but not working. You can turn with it to the scripture if you like, or I'm just going to read it for you. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. It says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of some daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, and you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. You move on to the very end of it, verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. I'm going to change that last part just a little bit. Faith without verbs is dead. Faith without action is dead. It means nothing. It's useless. So when we take James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, and we combine that with Hebrews chapter 11, what do we learn? Well, we learn that a faith that will please God always has action. A faith that will please God is a faith that takes action. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who, what? Does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Does is an action word. Christianity is a doing thing. It wasn't that these people just believed on God. It was the fact that their faith moved them to do something in service of God. It moved them. It was their actions, and it was the fact that it was based on their faith that they changed their lives. They did all these wonderful things, but it was all through their faith and their actions that they had. And actions will change our lives too if it's done on faith in God. So, you're going to get tired of hearing me ask this. What's your verb? Hebrews tells us about our forefathers, Abraham, Moses, and all these different people and their faith, and how their faith translated into works. We just went through a whole list of those. So let's get into some application now. Let's look at Monte Vista, and let's look at ourselves. More specifically, how do you and I measure up? Let's fill in the blanks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down through this list, And I've gone through this list with my name in it, and it's one of those things, there's some things I need to work on, absolutely. But what I want you to do is, as I go through this list, I'm going to say you. And I want you to put your name in as I'm reading these out loud. And I want you to assess on yourself and ask yourself, am I doing these things? Do I have action associated with my faith? By my faith, am I doing something to serve God? Or after the dash, is it just blank? By faith, Jason came home each night and did nothing. By faith, Jason really, he just came to church and there's nothing more to it. Let's go down through the list. By faith, you offer to God a life of self-sacrifice. A life of self-sacrifice. By faith, you please God by overcoming your fears. You didn't let your little things in your life keep you from serving God as you should serve him. You stepped up to the plate. When there was an opportunity to do good, you did it. By faith, you prepared for Bible class every Sunday and every Wednesday. By faith, you obeyed by being modest, not just when you're at church, but when you're at school, when you went to work, when you went out with some friends. By faith, you considered the scriptures daily. You delve into the word. You want to understand what God wanted you to do with your life. By faith, you submitted to your spouse. By faith, you blessed your children. By faith, you blessed your grandchildren. You, as a parent or a grandparent, you talk to your children on a regular basis about Christ. The fact that he died for you and for your children and your grandchildren. You talk to them about the life that they need to live, the sacrifice that they need to make, and the glorious reward that awaits them in heaven. You bless them with that. By faith, you made mention of one's sins. This is a tough one. You saw a brother that was faltering, and by faith you went to him and you said, brother, what you're doing is not right. You need to get your life right. This is what the scripture said. How can I help you? That takes courage, my friends. But by faith, we need to be able to step up and go to our brother and say, hey, I'm here for you, but what you're doing is not right. By faith, have you done that? By faith, you sent cars to visitors. By faith, you refused to be idle. You refused to be a person that just went out with the girls or the guys on an occasional dinner night just to hang out. But when it came to a men's Bible class, you weren't there. When it came to a ladies' Bible class, you weren't there. When it came to a singing, you weren't there. When it came to a brother or sister that was in the hospital, you didn't go. When a brother was struggling, you didn't make the phone call. Idling is easy. When you put your engine under strain, that's when the work is done. By faith, you stayed pure in speech. By faith, you visited the sick. It's tough going to see someone in the hospital sometimes. Hospitals could be uncomfortable. Going into someone's home when they're on hospice and they're about ready to pass and the family's sitting around them. Man, it's tough. Half the time, you just don't know what to say. But by faith, you go and you sit and you hold that person's hand. And you whisper into their ear, I'll see you on the other side. By faith, you're there with that family as they're losing somebody. By faith, you're there with them when they're sick. One of these days, you're going to be that person that's sick. It goes both ways. And by faith, you welcomed people into your home. You realized that it was God's blessing that he gave you, and you used it to the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, faith without works is dead. So, I ask you again. Do you have faith? Do you have a faith that is truly pleasing to God? Do you have a faith that is full of action? Do you have a faith that is truly full of works? If not, as Ken Leach would say, you better get to work. And he'd say that with love. And I say it today. And that finger's pointing right back at me. I better get to work if in my life I don't have action on my faith. So maybe you're not a Christian and you have a little seed of faith. And you're just starting to learn a little bit about Christ. Act upon that little seed of faith and ask one of us here if we'd have a Bible study with you. We would love to teach you about Christ and the steps that you need to take to to serve him. Maybe you're not a Christian and that little seed is bigger and it's a sprout of faith. I ask you, if you know what you need to do to be baptized, why don't you act? You need to act upon that sprout of faith. Come forward and we'll baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Your sins will be washed away. Maybe you have a tree of faith. You're just a bulwark of faith. But your tree of faith bears no fruit or hardly any fruit for the Lord. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you as brothers and sisters. Ask the elders what work needs to be done. There's a list of people that we will love to have you go visit. But you need to act, no matter your situation. And if any of these pertain to you, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.